This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey, welcome back to the Pod Crashed. This week, we're telling the story of Ryanair Flight 4102. Thanks for listening.
One, two, three.
Hey, see?
Happy New Year, Mariah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, friends. Ooh. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Okay, we're going to do this.
We got this. Yep.
Right. We both, like, within our own hearts and then over a text message, debated, should we take a nap before we record or should we record early and go to bed early?
Yeah, yeah. And then take the long nap.
One of those long overnight naps that I've heard so much about.
Yeah.
But we decided to record early, so no one's ears will ever get to hear the version of this episode that came after a nap, but happy New Year. To celebrate the new year, we are doing a Ryanair
story. All right.
Yes, Ryanair. So I think most of you will know Ryanair is like a European budget airline, an Irish budget airline.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's Irish, and it's the budgetiest of all budget airlines. And I had the pleasure of flying on a lot of Ryanair flights with Brian, and when I went by myself. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is super, 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 super cheap.
Mm.
Or at least it was, and so cheap, wildly cheap. But
you've been on a budget airline here, right? Like you've been on a Spirit Air or something like that.
That's a great question. In the U.S., I don't think I've been on Spirit.
Mm.
You've been on Spirit Airlines.
Oh yeah,
you've been on Frontier Airlines.
Yes, terrible.
And they don't even act like they're. They you'd think. They're just a regular airline.
Right.
But they ain't. Yeah.
I was just going to say, how would you, like, do you think they're comparable?
There's a lot of the same stuff. So, like, Ryanair, the big thing that was meaningful to me was that you had to print your boarding pass before, like, you got to the airport, or they would charge you, like, $40 to print it at the airport. But, like, the ticket would usually cost, like, $18. And then, yeah,
that's
but
insane.
Ryanair, everybody has some Ryanair horror story, I think. Like,
yeah.
Or not everybody, but like most European folks who have, you know, been drawn in by the, like, you know, $25 flight to a different country.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, when it works, it works. It's a little bit of a gamble, but.
Right.
Yeah. So we're doing Ryanair 4102, and we're going back to November 10th. 2008. What a good year, 2008. In so many little ways.
Yeah.
But
and also a terrible year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Most years seem to have that combination, but
yeah.
We're flying a 737. So again, I feel like I always have to say the 737s are like the most successful airplane ever built, like very, 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 very popular. So they do come up in a lot of our stories, but not because they're so like horribly unsafe, just because there's so many of them out there. And we're flying from Frankfurt to Rome. So Frankfurt, Germany to Rome, Italy. But we're flying from Frankfurt Hahn Airport to Rome Ciampino. So the one of the ways that they keep costs down is by flying to like the little piddly airports, like Girona in the other story that we did outside of Barcelona. Like, so so we're flying from like the little piddly airport near Frankfurt to the little piddly airport near Rome.
Okay.
And keeping prices low, baby. The pilots we've got today, we've got 2 pilots, 4 flight attendants, 166 passengers, so 172 souls on board. That's a full plane for this aircraft. Like, we're, and let me tell you, Ryanair like stuffs you in. Like, it's like a full Ryanair plane is a full plane. Yeah. Like, they really, like, it's squished. Yeah. It's super squished. I really do. I think about, like, it is one of those times when, sorry, I'm too tired to be doing this episode probably, but I know I talk about this all the time, but it is amazing to me how different sizes people can be and like creatures. Like, it's all like you have one soul, but you can be like a microscopic, like short person, or like a giant, you know, basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, you just get one seat. This is one of those times.
Right.
Yeah. On this plane, all those tall German people crammed into their seats with the nice, short little Italian nonas. And
right.
We're good. We got this. We're fine.
Yeah.
So we are going. We've got Captain Frederick. That's how I'm going to say it. His name has, there's like 3 lines over different letters in his name.
Hmm.
That, so maybe it's pronounced Frederic. I don't know. But Frederick is what we're going to call him.
Yeah.
Freddy. And Freddy is 44 years old. He is Belgian. And he is very experienced. He's like a very, very, very experienced pilot. He's a real get, honestly, for Ryanair.
Yeah.
They must have gotten him. I hope he got a great signing bonus. And we got the first officer is Alexander, and sweet Alexander is 23 and very inexperienced. He has fewer than 600 hours. So he's Dutch, and God bless our boy. He is here to learn.
Yeah.
He's here to learn.
Yeah. He's
he, I suspect, did not get the signing bonus. He's here to learn.
Yeah.
It's not a long flight. We're flying. It's like maybe an hour and a half of airtime. So short little flight, you know, not super short, but not too long. The plane is very, very new. The plane is only 8 months old.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just a newborn baby, like a little puppy of a plane. And, we're taking off right around 6:30 AM. So early, early in the morning. Plane takes off. No problemo. And Frederick takes like raising up the next generation of pilots very seriously. Mm. Like he is about it. He is dedicated to, like, he takes his role not just as captain, but as teacher seriously. He wants to help Alexander be like the best pilot he can be.
Oh.
So we love Frederick.
Yeah.
He's great. They have like their, you know, like pleasant chats and, you know, like all the nice normal stuff that you might chit chat about, but he's also like letting him fly when it's relevant. He let him take off. He like had him like he's like giving him like pointers. It's really nice.
Yeah.
The 737 is like the aircraft that Frederick has the most experience in. Like, yeah. Thank you, Frederick.
It's a good situation to be learning in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice, right? It's nice. And I also, so I tried to find this out. So Frederick is Belgian and Alexander is Dutch. And, you know, Belgium, there are like 3 languages are French, Flemish, and Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly suspect, I don't know this, but I suspect that like every time a Belgian person meets a Dutch person or a French person, they're like, is your mother tongue my language?
Yeah.
And I can't confirm this, but I think they all speak all 3 and English because of course, but
yeah.
I think Frederick's mother tongue is French. So I think we'll assume they're chit chatting in English, but
gotcha.
But they could chit chat in Dutch if they wanted to. So, they are off. Alex is learning. Frederick is teaching. They are coming in close, getting in toward toward Rome as they, you know, the morning wears on, sun's coming up. What a beautiful fall day. Clear skies. Gorgeous day for flying. And Frederick suggests, like, hey, Alex, why don't you hand fly the plane in to land? Like, put it in manual and, like, do a completely manual landing. Like, it's good experience. It's a beautiful, clear morning. You got this, buddy. Like, you can do it. And Alex is like, yeah, I can do it. So they agree. Yes. No. Good. And they're coming in. They go through the checklist. Alex is reading off the checklist, doing everything he's supposed to do. And they come in toward Rome and they get lined up with the runway and they put it into manual. And Alex is flying it. He's hand flying this plane. He's going to hand land this plane. They're coming in. They get clearance to land. And as they're getting closer and closer, lower and lower, you can see the runway just sitting right there in front of them. They're lined up perfectly. Frederick is like gently giving him little, like, you know, like, you're a little high, slow down, you're a little this, you know, just like, he's like gently giving him like pointers. And they're coming down and they get down below 200 feet. And as they get down below 200 feet, it's like the decision altitude. They get the minimums voice on the from the plane and they have to decide if they're going to land or go around. And both of them say, we're going to land. So they get down, 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 runway's right in front of them. And boom, a flock of starlings just like lifts up out of the earth right in front of them, between them and the runway. This massive cloud of thousands of starlings just zooms up in front of them. And God bless him, our boy Frederick is like, Oh no. He says, go around. They've already like dipped below 200, but then flock of starlings. So Alex says, go around, flaps 15. And Alex says flaps 15 and Frederick moves the flaps back, retracts them back so they can go around. He retracts them back a little too far to 10, but we're going fast. There's a bunch of starlings. Bam. The right engine just fills up with starlings. God bless them. Their little souls go to starling heaven. Oh. And the engine just starts to die. Okay, so they are trying to go around. So Alex pushes the nose up and shoves the throttles all the way forward. So full power and the other engine eats up a bunch of other starlings. Oh. And so they've got the nose up. They're trying to pull away. They're trying to give full throttle so they can lift up away from the ground, and instead their engines eat 100 starlings and they start to fall. So Frederick takes control. He forgets about going around. We're not going around because we can't. And the plane actually does start to like fully stall and just like fall back down toward the runway, but they are right above the runway. And so Frederick tries to like aim the plane. I mean, they were 100 feet off the ground. Right. They're coming in fast now because they've got no engine thrust and they're just falling down. Frederick like aims, tries to get it back, like to get the runway underneath them basically. And they smash, bam, the left back side of the plane hits first. So the left gear slams into the ground along with like the left like hip kind of like above the tail. So that whole section just bashes into the runway. Okay, so we did make it onto the runway and then it hits there and then the right side slams down. And when the right side slams down onto the ground, the right landing gear gives out and just buckles under the weight and collapses. And then the right engine smashes down onto the ground. So they hit the runway just like that, about halfway down the runway. Ciampino already has a short runway, but they hit it with such force. So if you think about all of that energy, when they smash down into the ground, it took a lot of the force out with it, right? So as they start to roll down the runway with the right engine just scraping, they have slowed down, but they start to pull to the right and they're going to whip right off the runway again to the right. So Frederick puts the left thrust reverser on, spoilers and brakes. The left thrust reverser isn't doing a lot because it's full of dead starlings, but it does enough to like counteract along with Frederick's steering, and they just brakes, reverse thrusters, steering. I can't imagine how like heavy and loud it must have been to steer. But Frederick keeps it on the runway, and they stop just short of falling off the runway.
Oh my God.
So just short, they come to a stop. And Frederick and Alex shut off the engines as quickly as they can and then evacuate. Everybody gets off the plane. Everybody lives.
Oh, thank God.
Everybody lives. Yes. Everybody lives. Okay. The plane does not live. The plane was so damaged. This 8-month-old plane so damaged by the impact that they just wrote it off.
Oh. Toast. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Right. But all the humans lived. That's what matters the most.
Yes.
And so everybody lived. And so we know what happened. A billion starlings like came out of hell to crash this plane, right?
Yes.
So they know that that's what happened. But when the Italian investigative authority, right, is going to be the one doing this investigation along with Boeing doing their own investigation and Ryanair, right? And the question that the Italians asked that I kind of think maybe Ryanair really wanted to know the answer to was like, hey, like, great job. Everybody lived. Plane didn't live. Why didn't you just land? Like, why did you go around?
Yeah.
Like, you were already, like, the Italian authorities, like, their estimation was that they would have been on the ground in about 6 seconds. So, like, why not just, like, why try to go around? We were so close to the ground and you don't have engines. You could just cut the engines and just, like, it down.
Yeah.
That's what you think, too. That was, like, where your brain went.
While you were telling the story, I was like, why didn't they just...
Like, just down. Yeah. Keep going. You got this. Like, right. No, and okay, so you're not wrong. The other thing, the other part of that was that their estimation was that the damage to the engines was so incredibly extensive because they pushed it up to full throttle as they're flying through this flock of starlings. And anybody who doesn't know, a starling, unfortunately, we have them in the U.S. They're very invasive over here. They're native over there, like in Europe.
Right.
But they're just like a medium-sized black bird.
Yeah.
Smaller than a pigeon, but bigger than a, like the size of a robin. Who's that going to help? but bigger than a sparrow, smaller than a pigeon. So, but the engines like did actually ingest more than 90 starlings.
Jeez.
So they're small, but it was so many so fast, and they were pushing the throttles all the way forward as they flew through the flock.
Right.
So that's what caused the damage to be so extensive. And so they were like, Fred, why'd you go around, buddy? Like, how come you could have just put it on the ground? And again, our boy Fred is a lovely teacher and a kind man, and he had an answer. He said, okay, like, I'll walk you through it. Okay, we're heavy, right? Just to start off, we're heavy, we're full, we're heavy, we need a lot of runway to stop, and Ciampino has a shorter runway, right? Under normal conditions it's fine, but all of a sudden conditions are not normal, very suddenly, right?
And it's a packed plane.
It's right, exactly. So that's numero uno. Number two, he said, okay, so we need lots of runway. I don't know if the engines are the only thing that the birds have damaged. Mm. I don't know if the brakes got damaged. I don't know if the landing gear got damaged. So I don't know if I'm not going to have reverse thrusters like I would normally. we're heavy, we're coming in, and I don't know if my landing gear is also full of birds or if my brakes are also full of birds, right? He said we had a tailwind, and I was trained when in doubt, go around, right? Like, just go around. Yeah. If you get back up into the air, you can always go around. If you go around, get back up into the air, you can reassess. You can, like, take stock of what's been damaged. Yeah. You can fly over to the real airport for Rome, which has a much longer runway. And then, you know, like, that's what he said. And all of those are legitimate reasons, right? It is also... I think that he's a brilliant pilot, and I don't have a single bad thing to say about him.
Yeah.
The report was like, it does seem like a startle response might have been part of this, right? Your like startle reflex, because the first thing he did when he saw the starlings was go, and then just go around, go around, go around. And so that kind of like, as we're landing, something very unexpected and negative is happening. So let's stop that and like go around. Like, let's just get back into the air where everything was fine. Like, get away from the problem, right? Like that. And I don't doubt for a second that he was startled. And his instinct turned out not to be the right one,
right?
But it's just training that kicks in. That's all you have in a split second,
right? That's like immediately where your brain goes.
You just have your instincts and your training, right? Because you're not thinking through all of the different factors instantly, right? And so training and instinct, he's a good pilot who, as he said, has been trained to, you know, when in doubt, go around. So like, hey, Boeing and Ryanair, what does your training say for situations like this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, neither of them had it. Boeing had no training, none whatsoever on what to do if you have a bird strike, like so close to like while landing, nothing.
That is- Ryanair, nothing. In 2008.
Nothing. So this was within months of, or within a year at least, of the U.S. Airways, like the Miracle on the Hudson.
Yeah.
And I think there was another bird strike in like the same like 20-month period that like resulted in a crash.
Jeez.
And it was all like within the U.S. Airways one, I think, was an Airbus, but... But Boeing just straight up did not have, they had bird strike training, but they didn't have any bird strike. Like, what happens if you're 6 seconds from touching down and you have a bird strike?
Right.
You know, so.
That scenario,
Right. And it is, I agree with you that that's very strange, because that's when you would have bird strikes, is on takeoff and landing.
Right.
Those are the times where, right, exactly. Birds don't fly up 30,000 feet in the air. Like, they're down here with us most of the time.
Right.
And so I don't know, but they just had no relevant training. And then the training they added, like, Boeing added, you know, to their manual. But it's kind of, again, to me, to my eye, maybe to like a trained pilot, maybe it's clarifying. But I should have written it down. Like, to my eye, it was still like, if you think the engines are damaged, then just land if you think you can land safely. And it's like, okay, well, those are all things you don't know instantly.
Right.
Right. Like,
as made point and if, by our friend.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
But that's it, as promised.
Oh, wow.
We will nap soon. But that's it. That's the story. So Italy.
They didn't get in trouble for flying manually?
No, that's okay, fine. Good, that's good, allowed. Good. Yeah, that's totally allowed. That's a thing they're allowed to do.
Okay, because I 100% thought that's where this story was ending. And I was like, no fucking way.
No. So that's allowed. There's no problems there. They, I honestly, and again, somebody with more knowledge, Tim, Aaron, friends, this woman pilot who has been very sweet and has commented on some of our stuff, but I don't know your name. but I love you. But like anybody who knows more about it, I am interested to know what, like, wouldn't the autopilot just cut off in this situation anyway?
Right, right.
Like, what is the autopilot going to do in this scenario besides click off and say, like, you got this, right? Like, I don't know what happened. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But there were only 8 people who were even hospitalized, and they were all for minor injuries. I know that minor injuries can mean, like, a broken arm, which sucks, right? But I don't know. It seems like everybody was... Like, of 172 people...
Yeah, it's pretty miraculous.
By and large, yeah. By and large, it was okay.
Yeah.
If the plane had made it, well, the Starlings and the plane went to heaven together, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is... The Italian report took 10 years to come out.
Oh my God.
It took them 10 years.
Why?
For a bird strike where everyone lived. I don't know.
Maybe not priority. I don't know.
Maybe they don't have a lot of them. I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. Am I going to have to cut this? Is it wrong to say that maybe in general, Italy is a little more corrupt?
Oh yeah. I think that's fair. I don't even know
if that would be relevant.
Right.
Maybe they like waited for a bribe from Boeing for like 10 years and they were like, I guess they're not going to give us the money.
I mean, I don't know.
Is that a bad thing to say?
I appreciate them holding out 10 years if that is the case. Like, way to stick to it.
I mean, that's the kind of dedication we look for.
Yes, in politics.
And yes, that's dedication.
That's what immediately.
There we go. Put a positive spin on
exactly.
it. I like it. But I don't know.
Wow.
But it took them 10 years.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they pretty much said, like, well, it was caused by a bird strike. The bird strike was maybe made worse because they tried to go around. But it's obviously startling to have a flock of birds.
Yeah. Hit your,
like, rush into your
plane
when you're 200 feet off the ground or like 180 feet. They weren't even 200 feet off the ground.
Yeah. No, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must have been so loud, too, when they were hitting the plane.
Oh my gosh. It must have been so
terrifying.
And again, I maybe I shouldn't say this kind of thing again, but okay, like, culture is like a fun thing, right? It's fun.
Yes, it is.
And all I can imagine is like how different I imagine the Italian passengers would react from the Dutch passengers.
Yeah.
Like, those are going to be two very different,
yes,
like, instinctual responses,
right.
I think. Like, not, nobody's better or worse. It's
of course.
I think it would be different.
Yeah.
And I think that's, yeah.
Right.
Waiting for a plane at Ciampino was when I heard a couple loudly fighting in the airport, of course, because that's just, every airport has a couple yelling at each other somewhere in it.
Yeah.
And the man actually yelled, "Mamma mia," in the middle of the fight.
And you're like, no way.
Yeah, I was exactly.
Staged,
I was like,
towards
no,
the camera.
No, this is right. Exactly. Like, this is made up. But I don't think so.
Damn.
I don't think so.
What a moment.
It was. I'll never forget you fighting couple at the airport.
We wish you well.
I hope they're doing. I hope they're great. I hope they're very happy together. That was the last fight they had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mamma Mia seems like it would solve a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if someone yelled Mamma Mia in the middle of a fight, I think I would just, like, that's it.
Right.
We're done. You know what I mean?
If we,
that is the peace word. I don't know why.
Yeah. My mom has asked me like once or twice if you and I have ever gotten to one of, have you and I, the two of us,
yeah,
you know, have ever gotten,
yes,
into a fight? Why can't I talk? Into a fight.
Yeah.
And we have not.
I don't think so.
But
no.
If we do now, we have to remember
Mamma Mia
yeah, to cut it off.
Perfect.
But a lot of times those, like, funny, would that sound like so funny to our ears, like Mamma Mia or like Sacre Bleu.
Yeah.
Or like, we have both of like Mother of God,
yeah,
and Holy Cow are both things we,
yeah,
say.
Yes, yes.
So, like, why does it sound so funny when I don't know?
Because we don't. But, it's probably, I don't know. Is it funny to hear Americans say like that, those equivalents? I don't know.
Oh,
probably.
No, Mariah, we're going to get the best messages we've ever gotten this week.
Like, what is the, all of you, what is the equivalent in American language?
Well, our dearest darling Shane talking about how we say awesome.
Yes.
like yes, our American exuberance.
Shane,
like,
I will tell you, my grandmother also agrees with you and not agrees with you in this, but she hates the word awesome because she thinks it's overused in the US. Awesome is supposed to be for when you're speaking of the Lord. The Lord
that
is awesome.
There was, when I went to Bible college, a classmate of mine who spoke like, he was Indian and spoke like, I mean, like 30 languages,
yeah,
truly.
Yeah.
And he said that in every language, he like reserved one word for God in that language. And in English, he had chosen awesome.
Wow.
But then came to like a Bible college in upstate New York where everyone's just like, awesome French fries,
no,
dude.
No.
Like, you know,
Hispanic.
I know. I get why he picked it.
Yeah.
If you were just like, you would think that that would be like the right word to reserve for God. But
right.
But in a world with so many awesome things, like,
yeah,
or just, you know, saying that we love everything. I think that's actually,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
what we get. But we do except stuff that we hate.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. That's, let us know. Let us know.
What do you think? What's your bet? What do you think is going to be like the funny, the silly thing that we say? Has, what's somebody made fun of you for saying, like at work or something?
I don't know if I can say it on here.
Oh, no.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I,
that's fair.
Like, when it's cold.
We'll just put like a long beep here.
Yeah.
Like the first bleep of the show ever. We'll just put a long beep.
Yes. When it's cold, like when I am cold, because, you know, it takes a lot for me to be cold.
It has to be.
I'm
dead,
yeah,
before you're cold.
Right, right. Yeah. I the other day I was in the office and it was pretty fucking cold because the heat was off. And not thinking that, and I just walked into the shared office that I share. Thank God there was, I do have like a counterpart who is male, and thank God he was not in this room. Because I walked in and said, man, it is brick titties in here. And I don't, like, I don't know where I got that. I have no idea where I picked that up along the way. Probably.
It just, like, came out. Just,
it, yeah. Like,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
like, I mean, and I,
yeah,
say it, like, I say it a lot, but when I said it at work, like, the people in the room bursted out laughing, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no. Right. Yeah.
But that, I don't think that's a common American phrase.
But any American would instantly know what you're saying.
Exactly.
So, like, there's no confusion over what's wrong in this situation.
Right.
Like,
right.
But,
speaking,
yeah,
of phrases, I do have to apologize to the entirety of Western New York by referring to pop as soda in a previous episode.
I'll make sure my dad listens to this.
Please.
One, so that he can hear your apology.
Because
my,
I don't know. I'm turning into some. My accent is changing, but then I hear, then I go to Buffalo for 2 seconds, and I'm back at it. You know,
it's right back.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That my dear dad. My dad's notes on this show are 100% specific to him.
Yes.
Like, it is only things that he would personally prefer. It's not like general notes like for a presentation.
Right,
it's
right.
Just like,
Excuse me. Yes.
If Mariah said pop instead of soda.
Which
it
he's not
breaks
wrong.
My heart.
He is not wrong in this scenario at all.
It is pop.
It is pop. I mean, yes.
It is pop.
Yeah.
But
everyone is going to have, yeah, to deal with that on this. Because,
guys, that's just,
not to segue, but I'm sure this is something on your topics. Yeah, your topics list.
I did make a little list.
Of,
yeah.
Buffalo has been going through it.
Oh my God.
The city of Buffalo in the past 9 months has just, it's as a community, has just been demolished over and over and over and over. It is truly insane.
For anyone who doesn't know, and I'd also, by the time this is out, we might know more, but like,
yeah,
we're recording this on January 3rd, and for anyone who isn't aware, like, Damar Hamlin was a Bills safety, Buffalo Bills, like the NFL football team safety, and he tackled T. Higgins on the Bengals, and it didn't even look like a bad fall, and he stood up and fell down dead, and they did CPR on him on the field for at least 9 minutes and restarted his heart with an AED, and it was so horrible. And it was so horrible.
And you and I were texting while this was going on.
Right.
And at first they were showing the replays, and it almost
looked... They kept showing the replays.
Yes, but at that time, I did not know how serious it was. Like, the way that he fell down was almost cartoonish. Because he
fell straight back.
Because he just, got up, and then his body stiffened, and he fell. And it was just like, oh, okay. Like, obviously, he's hurt. You know, we need to take a minute. And then it clicked, and they were like, they've been working on him for 8 minutes or whatever. Right. And I was like, the fuck? What do you mean, working on him?
Right. And there was, oh my gosh. It was so... They kept showing the replay because that's how football is. And at some point when I was talking to Brian and I were watching the game, and I was just like, they have to stop showing this replay because it seems like he's really hurt.
Right.
They have to... Well, I don't know if it for you, but to me, when they have they just had it on Josh Allen, the quarterback's face.
Oh my God.
And when McDermott, the coach, was saying something to him, I assume that his heart has stopped, and little Joshy has the most expressive face in the world.
Yeah.
And you could just see something is very, very wrong.
Yeah.
The news he had just gotten is horrifying.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, fuck Roger Goodell.
Literally, though.
Chairman or whatever of the NFL. He was already going to hell, frankly, for what he did to Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
But then for sure after what he did to Tua this year.
Yep.
And now for... I'm sorry. I got into arguments with people about this. As soon as an AED was being used on a player on the field, that's where you postpone the game.
Literally.
You don't have everybody this...
You don't give everyone 5 minutes to warm up to try and play again.
5 minutes after he died.
Literally.
They got his heart restarted, but he did die. And he's right now, as far as I know, I don't know if anything's changed in the last hour, but as far as I know, he's still
in critical condition.
Right.
At the time of this, right now, he's still in critical condition, as far as
I know. So horrible. So horrible. He's 24.
Yeah.
So
and
horrible.
The first thing I said to Ty was, I hope to God his parents are in the stands and not watching this on TV, because...
From TV? Oh, my gosh.
Goodness. I couldn't. No.
Yeah. And his mom was, but I think only his mom.
Yeah.
And I know he's got, there's a picture that I've seen of both his parents, him, and then his little brother. And as far as I know, it was only his mom.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's terrifying.
And I cannot... I mean, they did postpone the game, but I cannot believe if you're performing CPR, then the game is postponed.
It's over.
If you're performing CPR on a player on the field,
it's
the
over.
Game is postponed.
Yeah. And then the first thing they said last night was that it was postponed until today. And I'm like, you don't... What?
No!
That's not how this works.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's why I don't... This is, again, the argument I got into somebody about, that is why Roger Goodell deserves to go to hell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe we all do and we can talk about it. But my point is, we agree, but it's fine. We'll keep going. But only just for Roger Goodell, no one else.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is clearly trying to see how quickly he can force them to get back on the field.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Like that's, and like, so yesterday it was like, okay, like as soon as possible, we'll do a temporary, you guys can go and like get each other hyped in the locker room or whatever. And then you'll go back to playing. Right. And then like, okay, fine. You can like take a breather, but you'll play tomorrow. Right. And like yeah. everybody is outraged and the players are like, no. And the coaches, you know, I don't know. I just,
yeah, and I was
but
really
he's being
glad.
Forced to do the right thing.
Exactly, because everyone else is just like, no, that's no.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Right. Like, no, and you know how serious the situation is. Like, I don't understand the making that call at all. Like, what in your? It's money. It's all money. That's why.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I do not know. I understand. I really do understand when you have like a big machine like that and it's just like going and it feels like it just has to keep going or whatever. Like, again, the blizzards and like are the stadium getting full of snow and like all of these like weather things that they had to figure out. Like, I understand what it can be like when you're running like a big machine like that. Sure. And it just feels like no matter what, this has to keep going. But no, not no matter what. Right. I don't know how you could see like all of the players. If anybody like looks up clips or pictures, like if you they're children,
right?
Like most of the players are in their like very early 20s. Yes. If you, I can't even imagine like looking at them like sobbing on the field watching their friend have CPR performed on him, or like watching the AED be used, all of that. I don't know how you could watch that, those players, those like boys,
yeah,
watching their friend be worked on in that way.
Not to mention from
and then
a,
think yeah. like get back at it.
Right, exactly. And not to mention from a totally normal hit. Like a
that's
a,
what's
that's I
weird
think
about
what
it.
Also is freaking everybody out is
yes.
It's like, you know, Ty and I consume a lot of football talk, like a lot of Pat correct. McAfee, and it's something that we both enjoy. And every football player who has talked about this is just like, man, like they feel it, you know, because it could have been anybody. It could have been them. It could have been anybody they know. Like, and that's utterly terrifying. I don't know. I know people are saying, I've heard rumors and like people, you know, talking, whatever, like the NFL is done. The NFL is like, they really need to make some changes. I just don't, like, I am not the person to predict what those changes could be to make this game safer. I have no idea. That's the essence of the game, is to like fight each
it
other
is,
for
right.
a ball, like, you know, and yes, it's strategy and it's skill and it's all these other things. But the reality is, most of the guys on the team are just getting into a car crash every single
right
you know drive or whatever,
right? And that's just it. Anybody who like hasn't seen it, the hit looks, the tackle, I mean, again, he, the player who is in the hospital in critical condition right now is the player who tackled the other player,
right?
Like, he was, and it looks like a totally normal tackle.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Like, again, Tua, like his tackles this year, like where he got despicable that he had more than one concussion
literally,
in 1 year.
Yeah.
But you can see immediately, obviously, that this person has gotten seriously injured. And this looks so normal. And it's so, oh, I just hope he's okay. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, right? But
and then is after a literally, what are they calling it? Once in a generational historic blizzard over Christmas weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Buffalo's a lot of people lost their lives.
Yeah.
What, I don't even know what the count is up to at this point.
I don't either. Dozens of people, though.
Dozens, yeah, dozens. More than 30.
Yeah.
At this point.
And that's just in Buffalo, like,
exactly.
Statewide,
yeah.
It was.
And countrywide, like, I even heard of, I think a Tennessee couple like froze to death, I think.
Oh my gosh.
From the cold weather and not having electricity.
I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you guys lost power and as a result lost heat because you have forced air.
Yeah.
So you had no heat and no power for days.
Literally days.
And no food.
And no food. My brother's going to kill me for saying no food on this podcast because I was calling all of everybody trying to negotiate for food. And he was like, I have food. So Tyler.
But did he?
We ate. I will say it that way. Okay. We did eat. We ate great meals. It was not prepared for. I will say it that way.
Okay.
We were. I totally like. So here's what happened. Ty and I drove from New York to Buffalo Thursday night. We were supposed to drive Friday. We both took off Friday. We were gonna drive all day. Heard about the storm. We're like, okay, maybe we should leave Thursday night after work. Drove all night long to make it in freezing cold rain. The weather was terrible. It was fine. We made it safely at 4:30 a.m. Talked to my brother for a little bit because he was still up. Go to bed, wake up, snowed in. And we probably woke up around, I don't know, 11, maybe 11:30. Snowed in.
Mm-hmm.
Take a shower. We still have power. Take a shower. By the time I get out of the shower, we have no power. And we're kind of like, you know, before we lost the power, like we were joking about what we would do if we lost power and, you know, all these other things. We're just like, okay, yeah, let's hunker down for a blizzard because that's what we do in Buffalo. We hunker down for weather, and when it passes, we continue on our normal lives.
Right.
Yeah, so we lost power, lost heat. Thankfully, he had a gas stove, so we still could like boil water. And so all day Friday we had no heat, and it started to get really cold. Just, you know, had lots of blankets.
The reptiles.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. The animals. So, you know, my brother and his roommates have, a few pets. They have, like a snake, and they have, I forget what kind of snake, but they have, what the hell's it called? The dragon.
Bearded dragon.
Yeah,
yeah, bearded dragon. And then the fish.
Yeah. So by the time we woke up on the second day with no power, the heat, the house was still pretty okay by the time we went to bed. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything compared to what it was the next morning. And we were keeping it heated with like a propane heater we had. Definitely not supposed to use that shit inside, but you know.
But what are you gonna do?
Right.
Have zero heat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we were just like, okay, yeah, like we'll go to bed and we'll take care of everything else in the morning. And by the time we woke up at like 6 the next morning, the reptiles were almost dead. And so we had to like heat them back up, make sure that they were good to go, and then we just kept like boiling water and trying to steam heat them. With like bags of water underneath a ventilated cage. And that seemed to work. You know, they were really happy to be warmed up. But yeah, it was just stuff like that. And my mom's basement flooded. We had to take her over. Her house was freezing. We had to, she lives, you know, a couple doors down from where we were staying at my brother's house. We had to walk her to my older brother's house, who lives like 6 blocks away, during the blizzard, just for her to get warm. And yeah, it was just crazy, you know. Thankfully we're okay and we made it. It was a long 3.5 days, but you know, at the end of it, it was good. It was fine, you know. And just like a lot of, I don't know, it's just really sad. I think Buffalonians pride themselves on being able to handle weather like this. And so, quote unquote like this, but it wasn't like anything that we normally see. You know, I mean, there were 70, 80 mile an hour winds.
The wind was unbelievable.
Yeah. My grandfather used to be in the highway department. He used to be the superintendent of highways in Amherst.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to one of his buddies, and they said that they had an 18-foot drift somewhere that they were trying to deal with. Obviously we didn't get 18 feet of snow, but the winds were so powerful that there was a natural 18-foot wind drift of snow.
Like a sand dune.
Yeah, exactly.
Snow. Yeah.
So it was a serious storm. I think you could probably agree with this. I don't really want to hear any they should have prepared. Just because it's like I've been hearing that a lot lately. Like people should have prepared better.
I mean, even that, like, it is, it's not like it's such a simple thing, right? Like, Brian and I, like, we have a car. Like, public transport is very poor in Buffalo, right? So we have a car. Yeah. So we were able to drive to the store to get groceries. But obviously, it's not like there's infinity groceries. Oh, and so, you know, like, we got what we could. And again, like, so if you, it was already cold and snowy before the storm hit. So if you have to go everywhere on foot, if you have to take the bus, if you like rely on like using your bike, like if you don't have a car, how would you prepare?
Right.
If you live in any of the neighborhoods in Buffalo that are full blown food deserts, right? That don't have, if you work at a job where you work 12s during the day and you are only off work, you know, the only time you can go to the grocery store is on weekends.
Right.
That's a lot of people, you know,
exactly.
Don't have childcare, whatever, you know, like there's all kinds of things that can. And then again, obviously, there's always people in every single extreme weather event ever, anywhere in the U.S. There are people who will just, you know, be like,
it's not that bad.
It's Buffalo. It's a blizzard. Right. It's not going to be that bad.
Right.
And that's not like, like, I mean, I guess I like urge, like, what's the worst case? What's like, I do tend to think like, if you can prepare, like, even if it, like, what's the worst case scenario? You have too many groceries. That's okay.
Right.
But another thing with preparing, again, the storm hit. What if you are paycheck to paycheck and you literally don't have money until tomorrow during the blizzard? Yep. You know what I mean? Like, if you, which was the case,
like for a lot of people, I mean, it hit on a Friday and the stores closed at 11 a.m. So, I mean, on literally, I was planning to go to Wegmans at noon and heard that it was closed.
Right.
You know?
Right. And why was it open in the first place?
Right.
Because those people have to get to work. So that's, again, like, what are you going to do? Like,
how
much, how many of you work at a job where if you said, I have to leave now because I have to get groceries?
Would you be allowed? Right.
So I have to leave early. Would you be allowed? And if your boss is just like, you can get them tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many, there are so, so, so many circumstances where, like, preparing the day before a storm is not, is just exceptionally difficult or overtly impossible, or you like endanger your job in order to do it, or like whatever the case may be.
And again, some of the people,
It was Christmas. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry,
if you're paycheck to paycheck, you're even more paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly.
Right, the week before Christmas, like, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. And I don't know. That, like, people should have prepared thing is, like, very easy. It's individualism, right? Like, this is where, like, but, like, it is that idea just, that, like, you know, I don't know.
I just, it, I don't know. It, I think I am a little bit traumatized.
Of course. That, like, you were,
you know, like, it definitely got scary there for a minute. And, you know, like, at one point when we were walking my mom to my brother's, like, my elderly mother to my brother's house with her little dog in a garbage bag, like, making sure, trying to have them not freeze to death. We saw, like, a police officer who was stranded at the end of the street. And the only reason we were able to walk down the street was because a construction plow had just come to rescue the police officer, who was in a Hummer, by the way. Like, the Hummer got stuck. And they were trying to do an emergency evacuation of an elderly lady and her dog on our street.
Oh, my God.
And the cop just looked, I mean, he looked defeated. He was frozen. Scared. He was shivering. He was terrified.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was going with that, but yeah, it was serious. And I'm, you know, glad we were okay. And it's really terrible about all of the families who lost people.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
In, you know, pretty sad and horrific ways. Must be really scary and lonely to, you know, pass away in your car during a blizzard.
Oh, you know. It's horrible. It's horrible. Right? And the wind is such, like, a big part of that, too. Like, in a regular blizzard, maybe the snow could almost, like, protect you or, like, offer something.
Yeah.
I will say, like little things, like... If you live anywhere that ever gets snow, stick a candle in your car and a lighter or matches. Yep. Stick that in your car because, like, one candle, like, in your car sealed in will actually, like, make it a lot warmer. Yes. It really will. Yep. And, like, doesn't matter if you have gas, you don't have to leave the car running, whatever. And that's, like, again, that's, like, a small thing that if somebody, if your loved one freezes to death in their car and someone's like, oh, they should have put a candle in it. Like, stop.
Yeah. Stop. Wrong. Right. Wrong
way. Yeah. Wrong way. No. Right. You're saying something that should be, like, just useful information for people to consider for the future and, like, and turning it into, like, a dunk on suffering people.
Exactly. Like it's wrong pointless. Approach. Yeah. And I mean, I will say, like, a lot of the comments and stuff that I see on, like, news articles is like, are people saying, like, just stop with that, like, type of attitude, you know?
Like, talk about how you can prepare in the future instead of, like, just saying, like, you, like, should have done this.
Right.
And, like, in general, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Don't even do that to yourself, right? Like, it's such, like, a hard thing, and all of us can almost always think of things we could have done differently.
Yeah.
But we don't get to do things differently. No. That doesn't work that way. You get to do things differently in the future, but you don't get to, you
redo
know.
Redo stuff, yeah.
But I hope that, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I hope that we don't have any more storms like that this year. I mean, not like that, obviously, because a storm like that is like a rare occurrence, thankfully, but man, forced air is nice, but the radiators are super annoying in so many ways, but I was so grateful that we had radiators you know, this time, and they are so annoying in so many ways, but I like that they work even if the power goes out. We didn't lose power, thankfully. The people across the street from us did, though. The whole block across the street from us lost power. So
I think that's exactly what happened to us, too. And that was what, like, I think fucked us up so much is, like, you know, I mean, we couldn't even, in this, like, blizzard, people could not see out of their house. You could not see across the street.
Yeah, I couldn't see the neighbors across the street. I didn't know that they had lost power for days.
Right.
Until we were all out shoveling on, like, Wednesday.
Right.
I didn't know that they didn't have power.
And, like, we could see periodically... like when we walked to my mom's the first time, we did not know that that they had power until we got, like, right up to it, and that was, like, the most mind fucking thing ever, I think.
Right, it was, like, it's so close.
It was so close, and they were so warm, and, like, I don't want to complain, but I was sad because I just wanted to, like, enjoy a winter weather, you know.
I know.
And we had fun. I mean, we did have a good time, but
we did.
It was scary for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
do we have another segue?
I think we can leave this stuff.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I think it doesn't, I think we'll leave that at that. Do you have a fact that you want to read? Segue to fact.
My fact this week, well, this is nice, because my fact this week is about Buffalo. And okay. It's not a crazy fact. It's mm-hmm. just that we have officially broken a record by having it snow more than 100 inches by the first of the year for like this season, the winter season. So,
like yeah. a nationwide record?
I believe so, yeah.
So that's, again, I want to say this, guys.
100
this
inches.
This is a nation with Alaska in it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Alaska. It's part of this country. And honestly, like Minnesota, the record.
Yes, 100 inches. If it's a national record.
Is it just the Buffalo record?
Maybe it is just the Buffalo record.
We broke our own record.
We broke our own record, yeah.
Good job, us.
Yeah, it's 101 inches.
Let's go, Buffalo. Broke our own record.
That is some shit they would post about, too.
Why did the Washington Post write an article about us breaking our own record for our city? No, but like not like we guys, for clarity, I want to make sure I'm clear about this. The record for the most snow in Buffalo before the end of the year. Not like we already held the nationwide record. Not like we already held the record. Our own record for our own city that was only ever about us. But we beat it. Okay, this is the pick me up we needed. This is how you start a new year, guys. This is that 2020 into 2021 energy.
It is.
We're just gonna we're just gonna
just continue.
Keep our heads up.
Yeah. We got this, guys.
We got this. You got this. We got this. Pray for Buffalo.
Pray
for DeMar and his family. Yeah. Pray for the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
All of it, but yes, and I love you, Mariah.
I love you, Casey. Thanks for telling that story.
Thank you for the fact. I love Buffalo. We love all of you.
Go Bills.
And go Bills. Go Bills. That's the real message. If you forget everything else, remember.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Pod Crashed. We so hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason, you can message us on Instagram or TikTok or email us at thepodcrashed@gmail.com. Or if you're listening on Spotify, we do have the little question feature. So if you're listening on Spotify, you might be able to see a question from us and we get to see your answers. So thank you to everyone who's already done that. We thank you so much for everyone who's been so gracious. I know that it's been a wild time. So thank you as always for being a wonderful group of people. And we'll see you next week.